There was an old Cherokee grandpa who was teaching his grandson about life. And he shared the following story. "There's a fight that's going on inside of me," he said to the boy. "It's a terrible fight between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. And this same fight is going on inside of you and inside of every other person too." The grandson thought about it for a minute and then asked his grandfather, "Which wolf is going to win?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "The one that you feed. The one that you feed." And my question to us at the beginning of this year of 2019 is, will you feed the light in your life during this coming year? We read today in Isaiah and throughout our scriptures these wonderful stories about light, words about dawn breaking forth and radiance. And today is the day where we celebrate the Epiphany, the manifestation of Jesus Christ's light before the world. And I invite you to turn with me in your bulletins to Isaiah. Take a look at that verse with me. One of the things that Isaiah shares is that our relationship with the light is personal. Let me give you a little bit of history. Isaiah was a prophet around 700 to 800 BC. And that's when God was giving him these prophecies about Israel and about, as we know now, the coming Messiah. So we have to realize that this was actually written about 700 to 800 years before Jesus Christ was on the scene. You'll also remember that prophets usually showed up in Israel's history when they were heading in the wrong direction, when they were heading toward darkness instead of light. And so this was a very dark time in Israel's history. God was using the prophet Isaiah to call them back to himself. And so this was a very incredible word for Isaiah to write in the moment, an incredible prophetic word of what God was going to do. He says in the very beginning verse, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." You'll notice in this particular beginning of a verse here, he's using very specific words. He says, "Arise, shine, your light has come." Not their light, not his light, not her light, not this country's light way over there, but your light has come. And he also says, "The glory of the Lord rises upon you." Not them, not he, not her, but you. And so one of the things that's important for you and I to realize is that the light of God has come upon us. And that makes us unique and special to God. We are caretakers of the light, if you will. And the light dwells within us as long as we have that relationship with Christ and are empowered and filled by his Holy Spirit. He goes on to say, "Darkness covers the earth, thick darkness is over the people." And so there are people that are in the light, but there are also the people that are in the darkness. And this image of darkness communicates the idea of gloom, oppression, and sin. There are people that are without the light. And then he goes on to say again, but, he's reminding us and reminding the people of Israel, "The Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you." So again, he's reemphasizing what he began to say in the very first sentence. Remember this. The Lord's light is upon you, and it's rising over you, it's covering you, and is with you in a very, very special way. He then goes on to say that nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. You know, as much as there might be people that are in darkness, many of them are attracted to the light. I was just with somebody the other day who is going through a time of really deep depression, a lot of struggle in their life, a lot of heartbreak, a lot of darkness, and they don't want to be there because they know what joy is like. They know what the light is like. They know what happiness is like, and they want to move into that place, and it's going to be a journey for them to get back to that place again. But it's simply an illustration for you and me to realize that there are people around us who are in darkness, and they really would like to get out of it. And the invitation for you and me is to be light to them, to share with them the light of Jesus, that they might know the way out. When you look at the prophecy by Isaiah in Isaiah 60, you can easily argue that that prophecy was really not fulfilled during the time that the people of Israel existed during that time. It was a dark time for them. It was a time of judgment. It was a time of being under God's judgment. And I can say to you, though, that as we celebrate Jesus' Epiphany this day, that this prophecy from Isaiah was fulfilled in Jesus' time. And actually, that's what Isaiah was foretelling. That's why Isaiah was speaking. He was speaking a prophetic word about Jesus' coming and the fulfillment of being the light of the world. In fact, there are over 300 prophecies in the scripture that speak to Jesus. It is a statistical impossibility that any one human being could fulfill all of those prophecies. But then we're talking about Jesus, aren't we? And he did, in the most wonderful and incredible and light-filled way. So you see, Jesus is a fulfillment of this prophecy by Isaiah. And that's one of the things you and I need to realize about God's prophecy. A lot of us read the Old Testament, and some of you don't. I won't ask for a show of hands. Some of you don't, and a lot of the world says it's old, it's antiquity, it has absolutely nothing to do with us. God doesn't really speak through it, but nothing could be further from the truth. Look at this prophecy in Isaiah 60. God is still speaking through it to the present day. It's a most amazing prophetic word that lets us know 700 to 800 years before Jesus was born, God was speaking that he was coming, that the light was coming into the world. And one of the things you and I need to realize is that as God speaks his prophetic word through his people in the scripture, it is timeless. God was not only speaking through Isaiah to the people of Israel, he was also speaking to the people to come, you and me, and the church after us as well, that would believe in Jesus as Messiah. And he was saying to us that he is the light, that arise, shine, your light has come, that the glory of the Lord dawns upon you. He's saying that to you and me because his prophetic word is timeless. There's no limit to it. When God speaks his word, it just keeps on going. Let me share with you a story that you're probably not going to believe, but that's okay. I'm going to tell you anyways because it illustrates this point. As we have been involved in the healing ministry with different people, we will be at a part of the meeting where there are what are called words of knowledge. And it's a word that comes from God, anointedly, about what God is going to be healing during the meeting. And just for example, somebody might have a word that somebody has a shoulder that needs healed. And actually this happened to Sue Bajukas in particular. A shoulder was killing her, and she came to the meeting. She stood up. By the end of the meeting, she was able to reach her hand all the way up here, where before it was only up to here because her shoulder was frozen. So anyways, they share this word about shoulders being healed. There's certain people that stand up, and sometimes the healing is 70%, 80%, or 100%. But that's not the best part. I'm getting to the best part. What they found is that over time, when somebody watches a video of this healing meeting, months or a year down the road, after it's happened, and they watch this prophetic word about a shoulder being healed, and somebody who's watching the TV has a sore shoulder, and they say, you know what, I claim that word for me. I believe God can heal and touch me now. Guess what happens? Their shoulder gets healed. Yeah, it's unbelievable. I know. When I heard that first time, I said, incredible. I mean, this is, God does that? Yes, God does that. And that's because his word knows no limits. It's a prophetic word that keeps on going as the miracle flows, as the light is breaking forth. God's word does not stop. It just keeps on bringing light. It keeps on bringing healing. It keeps on bringing redemption. It keeps on bringing love with the flood that it brings. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a great God that we serve? Yeah, I get excited about that. So the next time you're watching TV and the guy was only on 5 or 6 months ago, don't turn it off. Wait till the end if there might be a healing for you in that story. You see, Jesus empowers his children to be light. We celebrate that he is the light of the world, and he is. We celebrate that with our Advent wreath. We lit the center candle, which symbolizes Christ, on Christmas Day that he came into the world. We also have the Sanctus light over here by the ombre where the consecrated elements are, because it's our belief that Christ is present in the Eucharist in a special way. So that light is always on because we believe he's present there. And so you'll notice in our church, lights are lit. They're all over the place because we are children of the light. Can you say that with me? We are children of the light. Say it again. We are children of the light. That's who you are. That's who you are. It's not that we're better than anybody else. It's not that we're aloof above somebody. It's not that we look down on everybody else. But it doesn't change who you are. You are children of the light in a dark world. And God has called you to be light. He's called you to share that light in a life-changing way. Did you know that people are attracted to the light? They are. They're attracted to the light of love, of peace, of joy, of kindness, of gentleness, of self-control, of mercy and forgiveness. You know, I've talked with people over the years of my ministry that are dying for that in their life. I mean, absolutely dying for it. And they're trying all different kinds of things to get it in their life, but they're still empty because it's not real. The real love comes from Jesus. Jesus is the real thing, not Coke. Jesus is the real thing. Remember that. He is. People are attracted to the real thing. They know the real thing, and they're hungry for the real thing. And you know that you've reached the real thing when you're no longer hungry. When you say, yeah, that's it. That's what I've been looking for. That's what I've been thirsting for. That's what I've been hungry for. This is it. This is who I've been looking for. And see, people are looking for that in you. They're looking for the kingdom of God. They're looking for Jesus, and you can be a witness to his light. So I want to encourage you here today, at the very beginning of this year, on this Epiphany Sunday, be the light. Don't be ashamed about it. Be the light. Be different. You're not meant to be like everybody else. You're meant to be a peculiar people. That's what it says in the scripture. You're a peculiar people. You're unique. God says, don't hide your light. Don't put it under a basket. Let be a light to the world. As Jesus shines through you, people are going to see a difference, and they should. And we can celebrate that with them. It's not like I'm in the light and you're in the darkness, ha, 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 ha. It's I'm in the light. Let me share with you what Jesus did for me. And guess what? Jesus wants to do this in your life too. He wants to bring you mercy. He wants to bring you forgiveness. He wants you to stop guilt tripping now after 20 years of guilt tripping and be set free. He wants you to be able to experience healing miracles in your life. He wants that for you. Well, this is really good news. Now, this is good news. Some of you have been coming a lot of years and people talk about the good news and you kind of think, kind of have a big yawn. It's like, well, it doesn't sound so great to me. This is good news. This is really good news. Be the light. Be the miracle. Be the miracle. You know, I keep telling people, and I'm going to tell you this today again. You know what? When you pray for somebody for healing, it's not on you. I mean, I love this. I can pray with somebody for healing, and it's not up to me whether they get healed or not, because it's God's going to bring the healing. It's not about me. And it's not, guess what? It's not about you. Can you say that? It's not about me. It's not about you. It's really not. It's really not about you. The healing comes from God. So when you go to that hospital room or when you're at somebody's home and you say, you know what? Can I pray for you for healing? Can I pray for you for this physical healing? Can I pray for healing in your relationships? Can I pray with you for God's miracle in this moment? Guess what's going to happen? There's going to be some miracles. It's going to blow you away. It should blow you away. It still blows me away after all this time. I'm still blown away when God moves. I'm like a little kid. I love it. And then there'll be times where you're praying, it's like, well, it didn't go like the way I hoped. Nothing really much happened. But you keep on praying. But it's not on you. It's not on you. It's not about you. Let them know that before you pray. Hey, guess what? It's not about me whether you get healed or not. We're going to pray. We're going to believe God for your miracle. But God's going to be the one that heals you. That's it. So the pressure's off. Be the miracle. Stop keeping your mouth shut. Stop hiding your light. Stop being the chameleon that kind of goes around all these different groups and is like everybody else. You're not meant to be like everybody else. You're a believer. You're a prince or princess of the Lord God Almighty, and you're supposed to be a representative of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. In closing, I shared about the stars during Christmas. Some of you were here, some of you weren't. But as I shared about the stars during Christmas, I shared about this story in Matthew 2 about the star, the evening star, that the wise ones followed. You know, if you look at that scripture, it's very interesting in Matthew 2. It said, tell me about the star and when it appeared. This star just appeared. I believe it was Jesus' star. He had his own star. And it guided them along right to the place where Jesus was born. It says when they arrived at that place, and they had traveled for a long period of time. We're not sure how long it was, probably months, weeks and months. But when they finally arrived there, it says they were overjoyed. I'm sure they're glad the journey was done, but they couldn't wait to meet this king. They knew that this was a very special person. They had come bearing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to present to this king unlike any other king that would ever be born. And they got there by following the evening star. I also shared about the bright morning star. Did you realize in Revelation 22:14 that Jesus is described as the bright morning star, the light of the world, that he is a star like unlike any other, and that he is a star. One of the things that makes him unique is that he is a star that brings light to other lives that say yes to him. Incredible star, miraculous star. One-of-a-kind star, the star that you and I follow as Lord and Savior. Finally, I shared about the star that is you. Did you know you're called to be a star? Now, I'm not talking about Hollywood. I'm not talking about getting your star on that walkway right over there. Although that might be what God has you do, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a star in the kingdom of God. I invited people that Christmas, and I invite you here today, tonight, to look up at the stars. It's always one of my favorite things to do from when I was a young boy. And when you look up at the stars, you'll notice they're just so beautiful. They shine brightly. They bring light to the night in a very special way against this dark, dark sky behind them. And guess what? That's God's call in your life. God is calling you and I to be like those stars. He's calling us to be a light in a very dark world, to shine brightly. Whoever heard of a star that hid? You wouldn't even see it, right? A star was created to shine. And you have been created from the beginning of eternity. God had in his mind that you were going to be part of his family. And he had in his mind that you were going to be a star that shined in a unique way, brightly sharing his love, his joy, his peace, his patience, his kindness, his miracles, his grace in a way like nobody else could, and with people that would be transformed by it. And so in closing today, I want to share with you a benediction, a prayer that I will have for you and me through the rest of this year. It actually was inspired by Lord of the Rings, the Tolkien's great story that really, I think, speaks of the story of our lives and the story of the journey, a journey to the kingdom that really matters. And then after I share the words, we're going to be blessed to hear Glenn sing them, which will be such a blessing as well. So here's my prayer for all of us. May it be an evening star shines down upon you. May it be when darkness falls, your heart will be true. You walk a lonely road, oh, how far you are from home. Darkness has come, believe, and you will find your way. Darkness has fallen down, a promise lives within you. May it be the shadow's call will fly away. May it be your journey on, to light the day. When the night is overcome, you may rise to find the sun. Darkness has come. Believe, and you will find your way. Darkness has fallen down. A promise lives within you now.